along, there's a lesson in this. And the lesson is, I need to ask someone else to do the copy and pasting. Because it clearly seems like my computer skills obviously have some limitations. I apologize. I love Mary Oliver's poem, When I Am Among Trees. When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches. And they call again. It's simple, they say. And you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. I love that Mary Oliver in this poem suggests that when she walks among the trees, she's saved daily. The trees remind her to walk slowly, to bow often. The trees remind her of her own goodness. The trees remind her of who she is meant to be in the world. And it says, it's simple. You too, like the trees, are to be filled with light and to shine. Simple? Simple? I don't know about you, but to be filled with light in this world of ours and to shine these days to me is feeling like one of the most complicated things in the world. But yet, we each all have our bag of excuses as to why we're not shining. We each have our bag of excuses as to why we too, like the poet, feel a distance from ourselves. But my guess is we all know somebody who's shining, right? My guess is we all know somebody whose sheer presence in the world is light. And somehow when we're in their midst, when they're in their presence, their sheer presence has a way of dispelling a little bit of the darkness around us. How do they do that? How do they, in spite of the circumstances of their lives, in spite of the difficulties of their lives, in spite of the darkness, how do they shine? No idea. I was hoping you could tell me. But what I've noticed about those who shine is they don't spend a lot of time focusing on what they hope to achieve tomorrow. They don't spend a lot of time focusing on what the results they hope to arrive at tomorrow. They spend much of their time focusing on how they can best show up today. How they can best show up with an open and vulnerable heart right here, right now. What I've noticed is those people who shine seem to have figured out, that I haven't figured out yet, that you can't fix the world, but we can change the world. In fact, we change the world by our very presence in the world, whether we're aware of it or not. Whether you're aware of it or not, you changed this environment the moment you walked into it. So we can't fix the world, but we do change the world. But when our focus is on fixing what's broken, when our focus is on fixing the world, when our focus is on saving the world and saving people and fixing people, have you noticed that our attention tends to be about the outcome? You know, what we desire, what we think is best. And have you noticed, too, we also become attached to that outcome. So when things don't go the way we think they should go, which I don't know about you, is pretty much always, we get really stressed out. What would happen if we changed our focus? If we didn't so much focus on fixing and saving others and the world, but if we just simply asked ourselves, what does it mean to show up today? What does it mean to show up with my whole self today? What does it mean to show up today with an open heart, a vulnerable heart, and a trust that's enough? I just returned from my 7th trip with our church to San Lucas Tolaman in Guatemala. Do you realize there's over about 200 of us? There's over 200 of us that have made this journey. We have helped build about 15 homes, dramatically improving the quality. Do you have these slides in there? Dramatically improving the quality of people's lives. We have built, I think, well over 50 smokeless stoves. When you're in that tiny little space building that smokeless stove with these folks who can't even afford a home, and you see the black char on the roof from the open fire that they're using to warm themselves and to cook things, you realize in building that smokeless stove, you are literally, and I'm not kidding you, saving their lives. As respiratory disease is the leading killer of Guatemalan children. I mean, Bill mentioned how many water filters hundreds of water filters that we provided, latrines that we provided. Every water filter and latrine for every single family prevents 38 diseases. See those simple little buckets there? Did you see those buckets? 38 diseases is prevented by just providing one of those buckets. That's amazing. We, through this church, sponsor 175. Take that in for a moment. We sponsor 175 students through this church. Kids who might be given a fighting chance to break the cycle of extreme poverty through education. Through your generosity, you are literally changing lives, making a profound impact in the lives of those in San Lucas Tolaman in Guatemala. But it's taken me 7 trips to realize it's my life that's been changed. It's taken me 7 trips to realize that's probably was the whole point all along. So on Monday, this past Monday, after a hard week of work, we're in Antigua, one of my favorite cities. We kind of end the trip in Antigua to catch our breath before we come home. My son did his darndest to convince me to climb a volcano. Said, no, I'm going to sip coffee, sit in the city square and watch people. So I was having my coffee, and I was next to this man who was shining shoes. And he was about my age. And people would sit down. And this man was so present. He engaged every single person who sat down with his eyes and the fullness of his heart, his radiant smile. He was so present, even though almost every single person who sat down to get their shoes shined just kept reading their newspaper. I mean, this man was there with an open and a vulnerable heart, and he shined every shoe like it was the most important job in the world. It was amazing. And when he finished shining the shoes, his customers would place a coin or two in his hand, just a coin or two, a quetzal, which is about a quarter. And this man, for 2 hours I watched this, dozens of times, this man did the same ritual. Gracias. Every single time. It was clear this man had nothing. I'm guessing, I don't know his history, but I'm guessing he spent his entire day in that square in the heat of the day that his family might have something on the table that evening. He showed up. He showed up with an open and vulnerable heart. And this man was filled with so much light. He was shining. He was and is my teacher. You know, 8 years ago is when we started this mission in San Lucas Tolomán in Guatemala. 8 years ago, I wanted to change the world. 8 years ago, I wanted to alleviate poverty. 8 years ago, I wanted to save lives. 8 years ago, I wanted to make an impact in this community. 8 years ago, I wanted to build relationships. I still do. But 8 years later, I realized the life that is actually being saved is my own. The mission of Habitat, simple mission, every single person deserves a decent place to live. Not so far-fetched, is it? We help build, like the bandana, we help build a home for a single mother, Amelia. And her dad, now I try to imagine this, her dad, humble, proud man, stood before our group with tears in his eyes to thank us. And he said, I never would have ever dreamed that my daughter would have her own house to live in. So we helped build a home. But tomorrow, today, the next day, there are 1,000 homes need to be built. We help feed somebody. Tomorrow, there are 1,000 people that need to be fed. It's taken me 8 years to realize, whether it be in Guatemala or whether it be right here in Bend, it's not just about the home, it's not just about the food. It's about love. It's about sharing suffering, sharing joy. It's about connection. It's about recognizing that our well-being is bound up in their well-being. It's about showing up, doing the best we can to show up every day with open and vulnerable hearts and trust in God's grace. That's enough. I think that gets close to our word today, patience, the fruit of the Spirit. We're focusing on the fruits of the Spirit. Paul in Galatians 5 said there are certain things that are manifestations of a healthy spirituality, things like joy and love and peace and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And today, patience. I think patience is knowing that you can't fix the world. I think patience is knowing that there are so many things you can't even control, so many things outside of your control. I think patience is knowing there are so many things you just don't even understand in this world. But you show up anyway. And you not only just show up, But you show up with an open and vulnerable heart. And you trust somehow in God's grace. That's enough. I'm always amazed when I read scripture and I see something that I haven't seen before. I get excited when it's like, wow, I've never seen that before. The parable of the sower that you heard earlier. I've always thought that story was about the soil. How about you? You know, I've read that story. I've heard so many sermons about you have to have rich, receptive soil in order for the seeds of God's grace to grow. So what are you doing to prepare your soil to receive the seeds of God's grace? So I've always thought that story was about the soil. And I've always thought to myself, how am I rocky ground? Where are the rough edges of my life I need to smooth out? Where are the weeds in my soul? Where is life being choked out in me? Those are all good questions. Am I too shallow? Is there enough depth for the seeds to take root? All good questions. But what happens if we consider the story isn't about soil, but the sower? How does it change? How does it change if the story isn't about difficult soil and hungry birds and thorns? If the story isn't about our success and failure, our acceptability and unacceptability, but about the sower? Well, what I notice about the sower, when I first heard that and saw that and looked at it through that lens, is the sower sows seeds. The sower indiscriminately, wastefully, extravagantly sowed seeds. The sower didn't stop to think about the success or failure of that sowing. If I'm sowing seeds like the sower, just, I would realize, well, wait a minute, only 25% of my production here is going to be successful. And that's not right. That's not efficient. That's not productive. We need to do something about that. We need to stop this extravagant, wasteful sowing. That's bad farming, right? If you look at the story, the sower doesn't seem all that concerned about the condition of the soil. The sower doesn't seem all that concerned about the rocky, hard ground. The sower doesn't seem to be all that concerned about whether it's going to be successful or unsuccessful. The sower doesn't actually seem to be anxious or attached to the result, to the outcome. The sower shows up, opens his or her hand, and scatters seeds extravagantly, generously, wastefully. During my sabbatical 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to sit on the porch at Parker Palmer's house. I called this guy who's been my mentor forever out of the blue and said, hey, I'm on sabbatical, can I visit? He lives in Madison, Wisconsin. He said, sure, come on by, I'll pour the lemonade. So I showed up, and there he was, and we drank lemonade. I talked to him about how I was feeling burnt out. I shared with him about my doubts of my effectiveness as a pastor. I talked about how easily I slide into how my worth, my value, my worth is attached to results, outcomes. And with incredible compassion in his eyes, with this incredible empathy, this incredible presence, he looked at me and said, Stephen, your job isn't to be successful. Your job is to be faithful. Your job is just simply to do the best you can, to show up with your whole self, and to trust in God's grace. That's enough. It's the rainy season in Guatemala. It rained. It rained. Can you see that? It rained. And a lot of us were getting kind of anxious because of the rain that we weren't able to achieve the results that we wanted to achieve. We weren't able to accomplish as much as we wanted to accomplish because of that rain. And we couldn't control the rain. So there I found myself sitting under this makeshift shelter, worried and anxious about we're not able to do the work that we are there to do. And I caught the eye of our mason, Mario, who was drenched. And we just both started laughing. Just this kind of belly laughing. And I realized as I sat under that shelter, it's in the shelter of each other that we live. I realized it wasn't about trying to get, that's Mario, by the way, realized it wasn't about trying to get one more layer of bricks up in that house. It was about love. It was about connection. It was about showing up with an open and vulnerable heart and trusting in God's grace. That's enough. So I'm going to keep going to Guatemala, not because I think it's my job to save the Guatemalan people. I think I finally recognized how much I need to be saved. And I'm going to keep showing up right here in this community with you, to do the very best I can every day to show up with an open and vulnerable heart. Because I think, as Mary Oliver said, that's the only way I can come just a little bit closer to the hope of myself. So where will you show up? What seeds are in your hand and your heart, waiting to be extravagantly scattered? We continue to worship God as the morning offering is received.